33 groves of giant sequoia trees, which is the world's largest tree by volume. The Sequoia National Forest is home to the biggest concentration of giant sequoia groves. These groves are protected within the Giant Sequoia National Monument and managed by the United States Forest Service. And that brings us to Denise Alonzo, our final guest on today's Big Bend Radio Nature Connection show. We're airing live from Porterville Chamber of Commerce, and this is who you want to go to on your way to the forest. The forest is their backyard, and it's super cool. I'm a little jealous. I want the forest as my backyard. But Denise is one of the forest rangers over there, and I encourage you to go to the forest website. It is fs.usda.gov/sequoia. So welcome back, Denise. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Good. Hey,
we're here. We're happy.
Yes.
It's a good place to be. You know, we spent the night in the forest. So we're happy.
Well, that's wonderful, and it's a great time to be here, too, before the storm comes in next week.
I know. Well, our car was a little frozen over this morning. We got some Frosties on there. It was interesting going. It was warm and sunny here, you know, a little sweaty, and all, you know, driving up there was beautiful. The wildflowers are out, and the mountains, they were covered with these yellow flowers, these bright yellow flowers. It's just beautiful. It was really
beautiful.
Yeah, it's
a wonderful time of the year. Yep.
Mm, awesome. And we went up to, we went through Camp Nelson, and I think this is the area we were with you, right? When we went out with you.
We went to the Belknap Grove.
Yes,
and along the Nelson Trail the last time we were together.
That's right. And so we passed through there and then stayed overnight at Ponderosa Lodge. Now, I've got to bring up the fire. I know I was touching on it on the show, and I definitely want people to know, please, the area is open for fun, you know, and adventure and nature connecting. But there is, at that top portion, you do start to go through the burn zones, and the squirrels are still there. How are they still there, Denise? They're still there. They want to still hang out.
It's nature's wonder. You know, they dig them, get in their tunnels underground when we have a wildfire, and most of them can, you know, be successful at escaping. And, you know, they do travel when we have wildfires. And most of the time, they don't cover such a large area as that area that you were talking about from the Castle Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you are correct. It is open for getting through the fire area. But above Camp Nelson, where you see all the black scorch from the fire, that particular area, the forest managed land, is closed to the public until we can remove all those hazard trees and all the damaged area. We're working on that right now, and we're trying to restore some of the land, the landscape that was so badly damaged. We're working on that this summer, and it's a long process, as I'm sure you could imagine, to remove all those fire-killed trees that are adjacent to the road in order for people to travel through there safely. But we are working on that. The area is open up to Camp Nelson, and then between Camp Nelson and Ponderosa, the forest-managed land is closed because of the wildfire while we do our work to restore it and remove the hazards. And then past the Ponderosa, it opens up wide again because that area was not affected by the Castle Fire. So places like Trail of 100 Giants and California Hot Springs and all those places that were not burned in the fire, those are all open, and the campgrounds will open soon, and everything will be back up and running as normal.
And listen, when you go through there, stop at Ponderosa Lodge. They have good food. They really do. Mm-hmm. They know how to choose wine, and they have great lodging. Awesome,
awesome
experience.
Ponderosa Dave, I'm sure, was happy to accommodate you guys.
He had a wonderful time up there, and it was like, oh, we got to go down the hill. Wait, we want to stay longer. And we wanted to adventure more in the forest, for sure. Yeah, I mean, thinking about, like, the sequoia. So I always want to get this part, because people ask me, and I'm like, uh-oh, now I don't want to get it wrong. So Sequoia National Forest, Giant Sequoia National Monument, then we've got the two Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks. But the forest does go between the parks, so it's kind of, everyone's kind of connected, right? So you could cross over and not know which one you're in.
It, it does get to be kind of confusing because the Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks is actually between two sections of the Sequoia National Forest and Giant Sequoia National Monument. The Hume Lake Ranger District is north of the parks, and then we're, of course, the Western Divide and Kern River Districts is the other part of the Sequoia National Forest that's south of the parks. And the back countries do intertwine. And then on the Hume Lake Ranger District, you actually drive through the forest to get to the park, and you go back and forth between the two. But we're both open for recreational opportunity, and each of us offers a whole lot. There's only a couple of slight differences between the two land management agencies. For instance, if you have your dog with you, you are not able to take your dog on trails in the park. However, you are in the forest, and if you're camping and you don't have a campsite that you've been able to reserve and you're not staying in a developed campsite, you can disperse camp. That means basically set up your own camp anywhere in the national forest but not in the national park. So, you know, other than some small differences between the forest and the park as far as recreation goes, you can enjoy your opportunity on our in our area because you get to experience both. And not too many people can have a forest and a park and a monument right in the same general vicinity within, you know, an hour's drive of each other.
See, it's special, Nancy.
It's got the special.
It's got the special touch.
And you've got the huge giant sequoias. You've got the two biggest ones in the park, the General Sherman and the General Grant. And you've got the bole tree on the Hume Lake District. That's one of the largest giant sequoias. It's the largest giant sequoia in the National Forest. And you've got Trail of 100 Giants on the Western Divide Ranger District down by California Hot Springs. We've got lots of different opportunities. And the forest also is free of charge. So for the... If the on around the Ponderosa, you didn't have to pay any money to go on to the National Forest. So, you know, that's the nice thing about the Giant Sequoia National Monument and the Sequoia National Forest. We don't have an entry fee like they do in the National Park. So it doesn't cost you anything to go up and see the giant sequoias in the, you know, in the forest.
One thing I wanted to ask you about that, because I was doing a story on community parks, and some places are community park that, and we're doing it about free admission where you could go walking and exercise, and some are the forests. And so sometimes you need to have like a recreational pass, right? So, I mean, are all forests across the board free? Or
No, because there are some forests that, and you have to realize that the forests that charge fees, there's a lot of forests down in Los Angeles area that do have to charge a fee. It's not really an entry fee. It's a more of a use fee. And with that funds comes maintenance and care of those facilities. So that, you know, because there's such a large population, the forests are really impacted in those areas near large population centers. So those are the areas that do charge a use fee. There's the there's some passes that are necessary in order to collect fees in order to maintain the trails and the restroom facilities and the signs and so on and so forth. So anyone paying a fee should be confident that that funding that they're paying, the fee that they're paying is going towards a good cause. It's going towards the maintenance of the facility where they're visiting.
Yeah, absolutely. So this year, is there still camping in certain areas in the forest for this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, we have, matter of fact, we have one of our campgrounds. As you headed up the road towards Ponderosa, before you got to Camp Nelson, there's a side road that goes to Wishon Campground, and it's open now. We also plan to open Belknap Campground, where we visited when you guys were here a couple years ago. That campground is planned to be open before the end of the summer. We're still trying to do some work in there from the fire, but we do plan to open that campground, and Coy Flat Campground is right next door to it. We plan to open that campground. Our concessionaire, California Land Management, is working on assessing and opening up campgrounds right now in time for the summer season, and you can make a reservation now for some of our campgrounds on recreation.gov, the website. It's www.recreation.gov, G-O-V, or you can call the number, and I'll give you the number. It's 1-877-444-6777.
That's awesome, because I think a lot of families are looking to be outdoors, you know, especially being cooped up. And there's a lot of family reunions happening right now because people are finally being able to see their families. But why not do it out in nature? You know, you still have that fresh air, and I think we still have to be careful. It's not like it's just a big free-for-all yet. We're not at that level yet. So there is that be careful zone, and I think being out in nature, and don't drop your mask on the ground. It's like the new leader, like mask.
Yes.
You know, not good for wildlife. So do you see that it's going to be a busy summer for you guys?
It is likely going to be a busy summer because you're right. Everybody's been cooped up for a year, and they're anxious to get out and experience some time together where it's safe and we can socially distance. And everybody is to wear a mask when they visit the national forest and national parks because we don't want to, you know, risk anybody's health during this COVID pandemic. But we are definitely open to having people come and recreate and get outdoors and hike the trails. We have 1,300 miles of trails in the Sequoia National Forest and Giant Sequoia National Monument. We have lots and lots of areas for people to get outdoors and by themselves where they're not likely to encounter other people. And you can do that safely, and you can take your family and go out and have a picnic in the middle of the forest someplace and not likely to run into other people. It's a very safe thing to do as long as you're packing it in, packing it out. We do want people to be conscious of what they bring to the National Forest, make sure they bring everything home, take everything home with them that they do bring, and also be fire safe. Because we are having another drought conditions, unfortunately. But so we're likely going to have campfire restrictions early this summer. We will very likely go into campfire restrictions where we'll have to ban all campfires because of the risk. And anybody who is having a campfire or smoking or doing anything, you know, that's a flame or a, you know, something hot, we want to make sure that people are very conscious about fire and the risk of fire.
That's really important. I mean, really. And that's, to me, I was thinking, you know, with this fire, this situation where you drive through up to Ponderosa, I was like, you know, this really gives people an idea of just how one cigarette can take, you know, every reason, every fire has a different reason of how it gets started. But it's like, it's right there. Like, this can happen, just, you know, a cigarette or, you know, doing something that can cause a fire. So it's a, you know, good example for everyone to see. One thing, too, on our way up, I was, you know, there's a pull-off to look down. And so is that the Tule River that's at we were going up towards Ponderosa? Is that the Tule River at the bottom there?
Yeah, that's the middle fork of the Tule River.
It's beautiful. I know it's a little lower this year. But then somebody was saying that there's springs, there's actual springs that bubble up from the ground.
I don't know what feeds the Tule River. It's, you know, the high mountain snow melt. That's one of the reasons it's so low is because we haven't had a lot of snow this past year. But you drove by Lake Success, too, and the Tule River is one of the rivers that feeds into Lake Success, and it's lower than it should be this time of the year because we haven't had a lot of snow. And so we're all going to be suffering from the drought here in a very short time. And our farmers who rely on that down in the valley, they are also going to suffer from the lack of precipitation and the drought conditions.
Well, maybe this next snow will be a big, long one.
We hope so.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
I'm like, I'm getting out first. I, you know, Nancy and I were in Madison, Wisconsin during December, and we learned about snow. So I'm just saying, and it's not the same as California snow. It's just different. It's a little colder and a little icier. But the Sierra, I mean, okay, is it Sierra Nevadas or the Sierra Nevada? That's a whole other, that should be a whole show. Everyone can argue on it. But, I mean, it does get really cold up there this morning. I was like, oh, let's see, it is cold out here. I'm glad I have a jacket out.
Kind of surprised.
I know. We're like, what happened
here?
Like,
what?
It's something you do have to kind of plan for. When you do visit the mountains, you never know what the weather's going to be, because what it is in the valley floor, it can be completely different up in the mountains. So even I always carry extra clothing, extra food. It's another good safety measure, too, because if you do drive down, you know, one of those dirt roads and get to a secluded spot to have your picnic lunch, what if a dead tree falls on the road behind you and you can't get yourself out of there because you can't drive through over a dead tree? So most people don't carry chainsaws in their car to remove that tree to get out, you know, out from the road. So it's always a good idea to carry, you know, flashlights and extra food and extra clothing so that you're prepared when you go visit the National Forest or anywhere in the mountains for that matter.
Yeah. Anytime you go to nature, it could change. I mean, when we lived in the desert, it was like monsoon season could happen just as a beautiful day, and then all of a sudden, kaboom, and it's like an ocean tide going across the desert. So anything could happen. But, you know, I think it's when you go through things like that, it actually brings you closer to nature. It really does. When you're in a situation like, okay, maybe, you know, you have to wait it out a little bit and wait a while for someone to come and clear the road. Well, now you just get to sit and check out things and take your time and look at the little things. And the forest is amazing. There's so many different creatures. And my new thing is I love the bugs that eat the dead wood. I mean, they make these whole galleries. I dig it. The beetles are cool, you know?
Yeah.
That just kind of proves that it's all supposed to be there. But it's a beautiful, beautiful area. Wildlife-wise, bears are going to start. I was wondering about that. I was like, we left food in the car. Uh-oh. But then I was like, it's too cold for them up there right now. Like, they're not going to get in our car.
Coming out of hibernation about now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, oopsie. Okay. I knew it. I was like, I'm going to talk to Denise tomorrow, and she's going to tell me, no, take the food out of the car.
Yes,
well,
right.
You know, most of our bears do tend to be a little curious. And if you have food in your car that's real smelly, they might be more attracted to something like that than they would be to something in an ice chest, tucked under a towel in the trunk where they can't see it or smell it. I wouldn't want to have the smelly ice chest inside my tent with me if I were camping overnight anywhere, but especially in bear country. But, you know, you just do need to be conscious that there are bears out there, and there's also mountain lions. We do have mountain lions in the National Forest and the National Park. So it's just be conscious of where you're at and what's surrounding you. And if you have young children, just keep your children somewhat close to you in mountain lion country, because there are mountain lions, and that's, you know, and if you do encounter something like that in the woods, you have measures that you can use. You play big. You put your arms up and pretend you're as big as you can, and you don't turn around and run, because then they think you're prey.
Yeah.
But most wildlife is going to scare away from you. You know, most wildlife is not going to come close to you, because they're going to run away from you in most situations.
That's right. And it's so cool to see the wildlife, the deer and the blue jays. Those are stellar jays, right, that are out there, because they're big.
Yeah, and I like the chipmunks. I think they're one of my favorites.
They're much fun.
I love
fun.
The chipmunks.
So much
I know.
Fun.
And the squirrels up there are so big and furry compared to the ground squirrels. They're like, they're fluffy up there.
It seems like they're happy. Happy, fluffy squirrels.
Yes.
I like them. Yeah. Chubby. Everybody needs, I can't wait for National Squirrel Day. I've got so many squirrel photos because, I don't know, they're so cute. But Denise, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. I wish we were out on a hike together. That'd be much better recording.
Me too, yes. Definitely.
It'll happen. It'll happen. I want to thank you guys all for the work you're doing too with the forest to, you know, restore it and clean it up. I know that's a huge, huge job. That's what we could see. We're waiting in the road. I'm like, uh-oh, this probably wasn't the best idea to be up on a mountain when all this work is being done. We might have to do our show from the road. We got down in time, and everyone's real nice. And so it was really a really great experience up there. So, but everyone, again, the Forest Service website, you want to go there, is fs.usda.gov/sequoia. I encourage you to go there. Also, discoverthesequoias.com is a portal for all of the Sequoia region, all the communities that we've been visiting here on our Love Your Parks tour, the parks, the forests, everybody's on there. And we're going to close with a song called My Favorite Bridge, because there's bridges out here too, because there's rivers. So we got to play a bridge song. And it's actually our tour song. It's our main theme song for the Love Your Parks tour. So you can keep up with that at nationalparktraveling.com. Thanks so much for joining us, Denise.
Thank you.
Hi, Kay. You take care. Here
okay,
it is, everyone.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Here's My Favorite Bridge by John Roniger. Take care, everyone. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com. Here it is.
Jump off my face.